Peace and grace to you from Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Garrison Keillor, maybe you know him, he once said on his radio show, A Prairie Home Companion, that the sturdy Lutherans of Lake Wobegon go to church on wintry, snowy mornings in January after Christmas just to show that they can. Lutherans go to church on a Sunday morning, like today, this one, just to show that they will endure. Keillor told stories about Lake Wobegon and its God-fearing inhabitants. When the show ended in 2016, he said, I feel I am still, at my age, 62, searching what I was looking for when I was 18. What I really want, he said, is a long conversation with Grandpa and Grandma Denham, who came over from Glasgow in 1906 with their six kids. I want to know why they came here, what they were looking for. I want the truth, not a children's fable. And if I have found it, maybe I can stop looking. You know, Keillor's genius is to speak to the human spirit with simple words and simple ideas and suggestions. And I think I want what he wants. I kind of want that conversation with my grandparents who are no longer here. You know, why don't we have these conversations when we can? My grandparents had many stories to tell, and I was too preoccupied to listen until it was a little too late. But what strikes me even more is the sense that looking for something, is so natural to all of us. You know, it is what we do all our lives at 18 and 41 and 63 and even beyond, looking for something. It kind of is what it means to be human. A good conversation with his grandparents is what he wants, Keillor said, but at the end, it is the truth he seeks. And when he found that, he says he could stop looking. One day, not longer after his baptism by John, Jesus and John the Baptist meet again. Jesus is walking by. John the Baptist is standing there with two of his followers, and John says, look. In the old translations, it is behold. Look, there goes the Lamb of God. Well, nobody knows what that means, but whatever it means, John's two friends, they turn around and they start following Jesus. But instead of saying, come with me, follow me, Jesus turns around and asks them a question. What are you looking for? And instead of giving him an answer like, oh, Jesus, we're looking for the meaning of life, they ask him, where are you staying? Where are you staying, Rabbi? Which to me sounds like they're looking for an invitation for lunch. And that's actually what they get. Come and see, Jesus says. And they go with him and they spend the day there, and at the end of the day, one of them, Andrew, tells his brother Simon, we just found the Messiah. And do you know what that means? That is a way of saying, we just found the truth. And so, the Christian enterprise begins. In this story from the scripture, did you notice that faith does not start with the creed? Or a theological argument, or even a beautiful liturgical act. Faith starts with an invitation to lunch and a conversation, a relationship. So evangelism, which means the sharing of truth, sharing of the gospel. It doesn't happen by preaching or intellectual arguments, but with an act of kindness and hospitality. Come and see. I was so sad to read during my Christmas break about this Christian aid group who transports Hindu children miles away from their villages to give them food and gifts that people in North America mostly have packed. But they also require these children to study and listen Christian materials before they get fed. That kind of evangelism doesn't work. It never really worked, but it certainly doesn't work anymore. It's not even appropriate, and it's really not authentic witness. You see, we are called to witness to our faith with kindness. No strings attached, no conditions, no secondary agendas. You're not supposed to use kindness as a way to convert, make saying a prayer the condition for giving a child a sandwich. Come and see. That's enough. Come and see. It's in a real way the answer to the question that Jesus asks, what are you looking for? It's the right question. It's the basic question. What are you looking for? What do you really want? What do you want more than $1 million or perfect health or to go to heaven when you die? The answer used to be heaven. You know, that was back when life was really short and hard, and heaven sounded like a wonderful idea. But you know what a lot of people say today? Happiness. Happiness. In a society as wealthy as and privileged as Canada, what do you think it takes to find real happiness in life? That's actually the basis of a whole new field of scientific inquiry called happiness science. University of Pennsylvania psychologist Martin Seligman and his team has actually identified what makes human beings happy and the reasons, maybe not surprisingly, but overwhelmingly are relational, other people. And at the very top of the list, the single most efficient producers of happiness are apparently grandchildren. Not everybody has grandchildren, but I must say there's something deeply satisfying about that relationship. But generally, human relationships, close personal relationships, science knows, are related to happiness. The research team there at the University of Pennsylvania has developed techniques to increase happiness. Now I'm going to tell you this. Number one, they say, write down 3 blessings every day, 3 things that went really well, because I know, I do, and maybe you do too, we obsess about things that go wrong. So write 3 things that went well. Then, number 2, they say, you must do gratitude exercises. The scientists know that expressing gratitude not only will make you feel good, but it actually raises your energy level and it relieves pain and fatigue. Number 3, do 5 acts of kindness each week, and it will boost your spirit. And then the 4th one I really like, make a gratitude visit, Professor Seligman says. Write a note to someone from whom you are grateful for, and then actually hand deliver it and read it to them. You know, one thing that doesn't work is what? What do you think it is? One thing that doesn't, you think it would work, but it doesn't. Money. Once you have had your basic needs met, and when you can pay your bills, incremental amounts of income is nice, you know, but it doesn't produce happiness. Nothing nearly as dramatic as gratitude and relationships. There's also a connection between religion and happiness. The answer seems to be that religion, for many, provides social and spiritual support, a caring community, hospitality, a place to be. Many of the things that people need to be happy. But I do believe that God is the source of the basic question we ask. And God has created us to look and seek and search. It is said that God has created us with the God-sized hole in our hearts that nothing but God can fill. 16 centuries ago, Saint Augustine said this, "Thou hast made us for thyself, so that our hearts are restless until they find rest in thee." The longing that we experience, the emptiness, the incompleteness, the looking for something is built into us by God. Look, John says, the Lamb of God, he is what we are all looking for. And the men leave John and start to follow Jesus. "What are you looking for?" Jesus asks. And they respond, "Where are you staying?" "Come and see," he says. They go with him and spend the day. And later, Andrew, one of the two, brings his brother. Whatever happened that day changed Andrew forever. And Peter, too. And through the two of them, the entire history of the world. We are all looking. We're all looking, no matter who we are, how old we are, and no matter what we do for a living and how much money we have, we are all in some way looking for God. We're looking for a place where we are welcome and at home, looking for someone to follow, something big and important enough to commit our lives to. We asked youth at confirmation camp a couple of years ago to think about their favorite word and write it down on a piece of paper. We were planning to create a poetry, you know, fancy project. We were going to do poetry out of these words. And we all assumed, at least I did, leading this exercise, that they would choose words like dope or sick or Taylor Swift or some hockey player. Do you know what was the word that most of them chose? Love. Love. What are you? What are we all looking for? Love, for one thing. And when all is said and done, that word, love, means Jesus. The one who showed us what love looks like. The one who showed us what love does. The one who showed us that God is love. The Lamb of God is who we are all looking for, the one who gives us a place to be and a person to follow all our lives and a cause big enough to live for and work for and serve for and love for and even die for. May it be so for you and for me. Amen.